Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, friends, this is Matthias Roberts, and you're listening to...
And
sorry, ooh. Let's try it again. Okay. Hey, friends, this is Matthias Roberts.
And this is Kevin Garcia.
And you're listening to Queerology, a podcast on belief and being.
Hi, I'm Emmy. I'm 27, and I'm also queer. It took me a long time to say those words, but today I get to say them with love and pride for myself and my community and for the journey that embracing my identity has taken me on. I used to think that the way that I felt and the thoughts that I had made me unclean. There was a time when I believed that being queer would take away everything that I dreamed of for myself. But now I know that living as my authentic self is literally the best thing ever. I finally got to have a first date that actually gave me butterflies in my stomach, but ultimately allowing myself to be openly queer gave me so much more than just a satisfying dating life. Sharing with other people the parts of me that I thought I needed to hide in shame ended up inviting me to have more authentic relationships, not just with other people, but also with myself. I learned that there isn't a single part of me that I need to be afraid of. And as wild as this might sound to some people, I am grateful that I am queer. It's truly been an incredible gift in my life. And I'm also so excited to marry the woman of my dreams next summer. Sometimes it feels like I'm living in a fairy tale, but it's a super awesome queer fairy tale.
This is episode 87, and it's a special episode. What are we doing, Kevin?
Today, we are going through half of the stories that were submitted for this 90 Seconds of Truth project that that you came up with and then you asked me to be a part of. And I'm so grateful because it has been phenomenal to see the response on social media, and it has been beautiful to listen back to these stories. And I'm excited to share part of them with our audience today. And then I'm also excited about sharing the other half tomorrow on A Tiny Revolution,
yes,
which is my podcast. And like, is this the first crossover episode we've ever done?
I think it is. Like, we've been on each other's podcasts, but we've never done like a joint episode before. So.
Oh, we're so fancy.
We are.
Look at us
go.
Becoming women on the internet, let me tell you.
So for people who don't know what has been going on in the last week, like why we're even doing this, do you want to give a little like background on that?
Yeah.
Deathful and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, fun. That's a word for it. Well, I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday, Bethel posted this thing on their Instagram. And for those of you who don't know, Bethel Church is a very large, more charismatic and conservative church out in Redding, California. You probably know their music, like Bethel Music and Jesus Culture. All that's out of Bethel. And they posted this thing on Instagram. Well, it was probably back, I guess, like towards the beginning of the year, they launched this thing called the Changed Movement. Mm-hmm. And the Changed Movement for them was basically saying, oh, there's hope for change from your homosexual desires. There's a way for you to live in purity. There's a way for you to basically stifle yourself.
Yeah.
Continuously. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the language that they're using is the same language that was used by folks like Exodus International and other ex-gay movements throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early aughts.
Right.
So it's basically the same reparative ex-gay therapy repackaged in a much nicer way. Mm-hmm. Like they seem much more loving this go around, but that does, just because you're more loving does not mean that these words, this movement of saying like any, the thing about it is that the toxic theology that they're spewing is that queer people are not loved exactly as they are.
Right.
And that's deadly.
It is deadly. I was talking to someone this morning, I was having lunch with someone, and she was like, I was so shocked when I saw this and yet not surprised at all. But that kind of idea of like, I thought we were done with this. Like, I thought this kind of ended, at least it, this kind of public ex-gay movement kind of ended in 2012, 2013.
I think it was, yeah, I thought it was like 2012 is when Exodus closed their doors.
I mean, Alan Chambers, who ran that, literally said 99.999% of people who went through Exodus International did not experience change.
Which means that only 0.001% of some one person experience change.
Right. And I think that's the dangerous part. And like Justin Lee talks about this in his book, Torn. So many other people who have gotten on Facebook or Twitter or whatever in the past week have shared this sense of like what they're peddling isn't change. Like it isn't a changed sexual orientation, but instead it's changed behavior.
100%.
And I think what you and I are trying to say and what so many other people are trying to say is we don't even have to make that choice. That choice is a false, I mean, it's a false truth. It's a false gospel. God, Jesus, the divine does not require us to have to choose between our sexual orientation and our faith.
That's it. That's 100% it. And as someone who, at least, I mean, I preached on Sunday, so like, I guess for right now, I'm definitely still a Christian. it's one of those moments where it's like, you're right. Like, God is not concerned about how, you know, with who you love, but God is rather concerned about how you love. Do you love people well? Do you exist in relationships that are equitable? Are you able to see yourself as valuable to this world and to what God is doing in this world? Because I think what happens, and this is something I think it's really interesting. I was talking to someone else about the reason that this one hits so hard and the reason that this is so dangerous is that people keep recognizing or they keep trying to say like that this, your sexual orientation is tied directly, like you were saying, to an action or to a sex act, that this is just change in behavior, not change in orientation. That's the problem, is that like when you demonize someone's sexuality, it's not just saying that behavior is bad, because sexuality is not about behavior all the time. Sexuality is how we perceive beauty and how we connect with other people and how we form relationships. And I think ultimately it's how we relate to God, because all sexuality is really just this creative, beautiful force that just wants to connect, that wants to be known, that wants to be seen and appreciated. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to be loved. So like the reason that this is so dangerous is like, it's not, again, not about the behavior. Like, you know, I have, you know, I have friends who are, you know, Catholic monks. And so like, you know, celibacy is a whole nother conversation. But this in particular, the teaching that you, in order to be pleasing unto God, in order to live a life that is holy, must change your orientation or not act upon certain desires or emotions or feelings surrounding romance and love. That's wrong.
It is wrong. I mean, the thing is like the complete lack of integrity.
Yes.
Because I think, I mean, if when you really start pressuring people who are in this movement and asking those hard questions, like Alan Chambers talks about this, like we really start asking, like, has your sexual orientation actually changed? And when it comes right down to it, the answer is no. And yet they're selling this idea, like the whole movement is called changed.
Yes. I mean, like, they're just like, no. And like, that's the thing I was so funny is like their third post or whatever that they put up, that was just like, we, like, Jesus loves you and so do we. We're not here to tell you that LGBTQ people who don't want to change have to change. Actually, that's exactly what you're doing. That is exactly what you're doing. Because the thing is, if I came to your church and I said, I am queer and I don't want to not be queer at your church, I wouldn't be allowed to participate. Right. I know that I wouldn't, like, I couldn't be on the prayer ministry. I know that I couldn't lay on hands on nobody. I know that I definitely couldn't be a children's church person. I know that I couldn't be a youth, you know, it doesn't matter.
And I think, like, for anyone who's just hearing the emotion in our voices, I think the frustration is like, we have been through this before. Kevin has experienced ex-gay therapy. I was permeated in that world for years. It's so heartbreaking and frustrating to see it coming back with a force that, I mean, quite frankly, like, it's evil. This is not good and it doesn't produce good fruit. And to see our siblings having to wrestle with this all over again.
Right.
These stones placed around the necks of people that don't need to be there. It's infuriating.
You know, we don't need to like rehash all the stats over and over again. But like we or maybe we do.
I mean, like,
I mean, let's just go there for a second. You know, like if you are someone who is a part of a non-affirming church or non-affirming household, the likelihood that you're going to attempt suicide goes up. The amount of people who experience rejection from their family and their church community, their chances of their mental health problems, having depression and anxiety, you know, getting involved in risky sexual behavior, all of these things go up when you do not have a safe place to belong. Mm-hmm. And that is what the church, this is what Bethel is doing, is they're making church the one place in the world that is supposed to be a sacred and safe refuge from the pain of this world is creating the pain in this world. And that is evil and that is antichrist. And people will look at us and say, oh, you're just picking and choosing what you want from the Bible. But let me remind you what is in the Bible. Come on, somebody. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Book of Luke. There's a story where a woman who had been bent over and it said like a spirit had oppressed her for 18 years. And she came to Jesus on the Sabbath in the temple and he said, woman, you're be healed. Healed her, stood up straight. And she was healed after 18 years on the Sabbath. And all of the synagogue leaders are mad. Like, Jesus, you know, 6 days for work, one day for rest. Why did you do this on the Sabbath? This isn't right. This isn't kosher. And he says, would not a man untie his donkey from the manger and lead it to water even on the Sabbath day? So why is it that this woman who has been oppressed for 18 years should not be set free on the Sabbath day? And when I hear that, I hear Jesus saying, why do you care? Why can't you see the suffering that's right in front of you? Mm-hmm. And so on that day, Jesus said about the Sabbath, like, I have the authority when I experience suffering in the world to say that's wrong. And so if tradition is hurting people, then tradition is wrong. And I have no problem saying that. Right. Because you know who has appointed me? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come Amen. On, somebody. Mm-hmm. Woo! Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, that's so good. I think we should jump into stories and because we had so many people submit.
Yeah.
This whole project, 90 Seconds of Truth, people got 90 seconds to call into Kevin and me and share their story. And these stories speak for themselves. Like,
yeah, the thing. It's like on the other side of this whole thing, as much as we're complaining of all this, the stories that came out of this, like that's what this whole project is about, is the counter narrative.
Yeah.
Right? That's teaching and preaching better theology with our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, if this work is about liberation, it's about setting people free, which is the work of Jesus.
Come on.
And we have so many stories to share with the people who want to listen about people being set free and truly set free, not being placed into a box.
Yeah.
And I mean, for everyone, like, Kevin is releasing the second part of this tomorrow, and so tomorrow, Wednesday, this is a two-part kind of thing released on our. So be sure to listen into and subscribe to Tiny Revolution tomorrow as well.
Yeah, you can find that all over the internet, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, over on my website, thekevingarcia.com/podcast. And it'll be released Wednesday morning. So tune back in for part two of 90 Seconds of Truth.
Let's dive in.
My name is Jen, and I am a daughter of Christ. I am also bisexual. When I first discovered this part of me, I knew that God loved me like he said he always would. It wasn't until I started hearing things from other people that I looked up to, in the church, that I began to shrink in on myself. It made me question my faith and who I was as a person. It made me question who I was in the eyes of God. But what joy I have found in the truth. The truth, that is, that my future relationship with a woman will be just as valid in the eyes of God as my relationship with a man would be. For the first time in a long time, I have hope for the future because God is the only one who created me. He is the one who carves out my path. He is the one who longs for me to be authentically myself, to be authentic in how he created me to be. No one else gets to tell me who to be or how to live out my relationship with God. To all those who still have that fear and that uncertainty, how wonderful is it that we get to say, God, I am who you say I am. He did not send his son to die for us so we could live in fear, but so we could live and love and be the beautiful people that God created us to be.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I am a recently out bisexual woman. I am also pursuing ordination in the United Methodist Church. People often ask me why I stay in a church that is fighting so hard to keep me out. The short answer is this. Change happens from the inside, and there are many of us, queer folks and allies alike, who are fighting just as hard for change. I believe in a God whose love is wide enough and deep enough for all people in all places, and I trust that bit by bit, person by person, that love will spread throughout the church until every barrier we have erected throughout history to keep people out is torn down. It will get better, but we have to make it so.
I'm Rye. I'm a pansexual, trans femme, non-binary individual. I really didn't know that about myself until I came out a little over a year ago. But if there's one thing I've known all my life, it's shame. For 20-odd years, I was told that I was a man. But I always felt like a poor excuse for one. My self-esteem was low for a number of reasons, but that shame, it was the biggest one. It's just this heteronormative God that was forced on me from childhood. It just reached a point where I couldn't even follow them anymore. I didn't just stop being a Christian. I actively hated this God. I despised them. I wanted them to leave me alone and just turn their back completely on me. But lucky for me, that God didn't. They still loved me. They loved me enough to guide me towards queer friends online. Despite what was going on in my real life situation, they had joy, they had stories, they had peace, they had something to help me find myself. And with that, I was able to find true happiness and self-esteem. I'm not exaggerating. Becoming queer literally saved my faith. It gave me a more abundant life.
My name is Michael, and I identify as gay and non-binary. I used to hate myself for being gay because I thought that God hated me for being gay. Then one day I asked the Holy Spirit what they thought about my sexual orientation and gender identity. And the response really surprised me. They said, "I made you this way. Stop fighting how I made you to be." Before this, I was really depressed and suicidal. I couldn't even get out of bed. But then I came out of the closet, started to accept myself, and I'm no longer depressed. I'm actually starting to live my life and thrive. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, God accepts you. God adores you. Ask the Holy Spirit what they think about your sexual orientation or gender identity. You can be LGBTQ and a Christian. I'm gay, I love Jesus, and that's okay.
I'm the mother of a gay son, a son who we only visit by going to his gravesite. We believed for years that our teenage boy should choose to follow Jesus by denying his own sexuality and embracing the traditional evangelical prescription. We used testimonies of people, wonderful people, I'm sure, who said they used to be gay, but were no longer, to pressure our son into thinking that if only he could become straight, or at least live like he was, that he'd earn God's blessing and favor, and ours. He, like the great majority of LGBTQ people, didn't experience any change. Only despair, depression, and a deep conviction that God didn't actually love him at all. We only wish we had heard instead the stories of queer Christians telling all of us that there was another way, a way that leads to real abundant life, and the knowledge that God created our boy, adored our boy, and celebrated our boy exactly as he was. No change necessary.
Hi, my name's Alex, and I identify as a gay male. And the day that I accepted myself was, I was at 23 years old. And it wasn't the day that I accepted that I was gay. It wasn't the day that I came out. And it wasn't the day that I told my parents. It was the day when I decided to look on the other side of the fence. Because after 23 years of hard work and inner healing and counseling and praying the gay away, I decided to say, God, I give this up to you. I take this burden of me trying to fix myself through church terminology and church journeys and church walkways and healing organizations, and I give it to you. I'm letting go of me trying to fix myself, of thinking that you need me fixed. And that day, I started to ask my question, God, how do you see me? How do you see me? And that was 7 years ago. And me actually accepting me being attracted to men actually was a byproduct and came a few years later. I had to accept myself and who I was at the core before that came and how he saw me.
Hi, my name is Drew. I'm a gay man and I use he/him pronouns. When I was in the closet, so much of my time, energy, and attention went to hiding who I truly was from the world. And I'm not just talking about in regards to who I was attracted to. Everything about me, all of it, went through this filter of having to live just right to please other people. My whole life was a show. For me, when I came out, almost all of that was stripped away immediately. And I'm not saying this happens for everyone. But for me, embracing that I was queer gave me a new quality of life. I was more satisfied in my relationships. I was not only able to find a great queer community around me, but I was also able to better relate to my straight and cisgender friends. I was no longer afraid of how I might look to the world. I liked myself better. I finally believed that God loved me, and I have better relationships than I ever did before. It's because I'm finally authentic. It's because I finally embrace who I am. And it's because I finally see the power that being queer brings. It's so funny. I spent so much of my life trying to ditch being gay, but now I wouldn't want to trade it for anything. There's something special about embracing your queer identity. I don't even know that I fully know how to articulate it, but I can tell you for me, I have found so much hope, so much joy, and so much love being queer.
Hi, friends. My name is Bailey Bronner, and I am a queer pastor. I want you to know that wherever you are, however you identify, no matter who you are a beloved child of God. You were created just as you are for a holy purpose. Beloved, I need you to know that you are not a mistake. Your identity is not an accident. Nothing about you is broken. Just as the moon and the stars and the trees and the oceans were created, you too came into this world from beauty, from a God with God's hand on every strand of your glorious soul and body and spirit and DNA. I want you to know simply how deeply loved you are, and that nobody and nothing will change that.
Hey, y'all, this is Dr. Robin from Nashville, Tennessee. You know, I just want to send a message to folks who might be reading what's happening with Bethel Music and Bethel Church. You know, I'm a theologian, and I was deeply closeted in college and in seminary because it was not a friendly place to be. And, you know, when I decided to come out, when I decided to live my truth, I decided that that was the best thing to do because I could live freely. And we all know that bad theology kills. And what we all need to be doing right now is building coalitions with one another, with lines of radical difference, so that we can live our truth and live our freedom and live the sexuality that is a divine right. Sexuality and gender is not something that is created. It is something that is innate. It's something that is with us. And yes, we can wax and wane about the social construction of sex and gender and sexuality, but when the institutional church, when institutionalized religion, when it damns those who different, we have to shift the narrative. And so I'm here to shift the narrative with you.
Hey, this is Casey, and I just wanted to say that life can get so much better should you choose to step away from the toxic theology that is taking place in your church or in churches around you. I was in the deepest, darkest, most depressed place I'd probably ever been when I was a part of a church, and I was closeted, and I wasn't able to see the influence, the negative influence it had on me until I was able to step away. And once I stepped away, I was really able to figure out who I really was and who I wanted to be, and that it was okay that I could pursue that wholeheartedly and be who I've always known that I've been for my entire life. And so I just encourage anyone in that position to do that, and to know that you can be gay and you can be Christian and be blessed and favored by God, and that it's not something to be ashamed of. You don't have to live in that shame. You can live free and be happier than you've ever been.
I'm a dad. I'm personally straight and cis, but I'm a dad of two young kids, 5 and 2. And I don't know their gender and sexual identity, and want to raise them in a community and a church that doesn't teach them that in order to change, or that in order to be accepted, they have to change, or that in order to be viewed by God as fully themselves, they have to change, or that to be known or to know others or to participate or to worship, that they need to be somehow different than they are. I want them to grow up in a place where they're accepted for who they are, no matter what that is, and where their identity is celebrated. And the fact that churches are teaching people that you can be a better part of this community if you change, or that you can be loved more if you change, is just saddening and enraging. It's not what I want for my kids, and I hope for more. And I thank you for the work that you're doing, and I hope that Bethel and other places like that can understand that everyone is loved for who they are, and that there's no need to change.
My name is Andrew, and I'm a queer man. I'm Australian. During the 1990s, while an undergraduate, I became a Christian in a conservative evangelical church. After almost a decade in the church, I could no longer reconcile dissonance I had over LGBT inclusion, gender equality, biblical literalism, Jesus as a radical, and social justice. I had to leave. My friends stopped talking to me. No one persuaded me to stay. I lost faith in Christian community. I lost my faith, full stop. I didn't think I could be both queer and Christian. The theology I had learnt said that was impossible. But I embrace being queer and build a career working on LGBT and gender issues. Yet in the last couple of years, I've realized I need faith in my life to help make sense of the world and my place in it. That calling compelled me to seek out different ways of reading scripture and understanding the divine. I've embraced a compassionate God who loves creation, including LGBT people. I've embraced Jesus as a radical who brings liberation and love. I've become a Christian again, though I might call myself a Jesus follower now. I've learnt you can be queer and Christian, and my faith is more progressive now. It compels me to embrace diversity, to celebrate and love what is good in the world, and to strive to make it a better place for more people. I don't think I would have that drive without being both queer and a Jesus follower.
My name is Emily. I'm gay, and I love Jesus. When I first came out to myself, I was unsure about my theological beliefs. I was so scared that my interpretations of scripture were inherently biased because of my identity. I was afraid it would be selfish to be affirming. So even though I intellectually believed that God blessed same-sex relationships, I struggled emotionally. So I did a lot of research. I read books, went to conferences, and the more I studied the Bible and interacted with other LGBTQ Christians, I was filled with peace and confidence that our identities and relationships are good. If you are a queer Christian listening to this, and you're unsure about what you believe, if you're feeling alone or ashamed of who you are, I want to let you know that God adores you. You can get deep into discourse about Romans and Leviticus, and that research and those conversations have their place. But right now, I want you to rest in the truth that every part of you is beautiful. You don't need to read a certain number of books or spend a certain amount of time researching theology before you are allowed to accept yourself and find peace in your identity. I am giving you permission to be still and know that you are loved, that you were made this way on purpose, and God delights in you.
My name's Raleigh, and I'm a bisexual man married to my best friend who happens to be a woman. When I grew up in a fundamentalist church in the 80s, I was very unsure about my sexual orientation, but I was sure of one thing. Whatever I was and however I loved wasn't okay with my church, my school, or God. I spent nearly a decade of therapies, groups, Bible studies, and praying to change myself into a straight man. And the damage to my psyche and self-worth has taken over a decade to begin to heal. I know hundreds of beautiful LGBTQ people who still carry deep wounds from the misguided efforts to change themselves to fit someone else's theological narrative. But today, I'm happy and proud to be a Jesus-following queer man. There's no box that can hold the complex, beautiful, diverse community of faith that we belong to. From my lesbian neighbors who help serve communion at church, to the gay couple who listen whenever my wife just needs to talk, to our asexual friend who always has a smile and a hug when we need it, to my coworker who's transitioning and worries they won't fit in at their church, so they're thinking about visiting ours. The change I've discovered in my life is the beautiful freedom and hope of embracing all our wonderful queer diversity and the myriad of ways we reflect the divine image. If you're struggling to find a way to reconcile your sexuality or gender identity with your faith, hang on, keep listening. Your community is here for you. We are queer and we are people of deep faith, and you absolutely belong.
Hi, my name is Travis, and I am a gay Christian. I was raised in church, and for years I attended pastoral counseling. I read my Bible. I attended Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday and Tuesday night prayer meeting. And night after night, I just pleaded with God to just take these attractions away, to take this out of my life. And about 3 years ago, I came to term with my sexuality. And I realized that it is holy and sacred. Instead of pleading for God to take it away, I allowed God into that area of my life. I left toxic theology behind once and for all this past March. I found an affirming congregation in my city, and with it so much love and care. I realized then that God loves me, and I know that even more now that I've allowed them into my life fully. And if you're hearing this and you feel scared, you feel alone, you're not. God wants to love you just as you are.
I came out for the first time when I was 11 years old, before I knew what being transgender was, before I knew the social and political and spiritual and religious implications behind that statement, and how many would take issue with it, especially so young. And as I grew up and realized over the next year what those implications were in other people's eyes, I went back in the closet and decided to just attempt to live as a girl. And for those 3 years that I was back in the closet, I had a cycle of once a year having a big mental breakdown about it, and borderline being hospitalized. And so I came back out at 15 and have been ever since, which broke the cycle of suicidal ideations every 6 months and repression for the rest of it.
Hi there. My name is Arthur. I'm 22 years old. And I've been living in the AG faith ever since I was little. I grew up in the AG faith. I lived by a very distinct theology for, 21 years of my life, thinking that my identity as an LGBTQ individual had to be suppressed, had to be pushed down. And I lived very unsuccessfully in that way for 21 years, depressed, suicidal, thinking that a part of me that I seemingly couldn't get rid of was the factor that kept me, distanced from God. And that was harmful. And so I just recently had a revelation in my faith. I had an awakening, and it's been so beautiful coming into myself, coming into my true identity, and realizing that it's helping me love Jesus and further his kingdom more successfully, and just being myself and being my unique identity, my unique person, has never been a fault. It has always been something that has brought me closer to God, and something that will continue to bring me closer to God. And I just want to encourage any youth out there that are struggling, that think they need to push things down, that they're beautiful and unique and their story needs to be heard. And Jesus loves us all just the same.
Hi, my name is Chris. I identify as gay. I am 30 years old. I was born and raised Catholic. And from the time of my conversion into the church when I was about 11 or 12 until I was 29, I thought that my sexuality was broken. And despite how much I loved God and how loved I felt in the church community, I continually tried to change this about myself. I went through at least 10 years of intensive therapy. I went to treatment. I did a countless number of charismatic healing retreats, thinking all the while that my sexuality could be broken and could be healed. I probably have enough formation in traditional Catholic Christian unaffirming sexual ethic that I could probably write a book on why I shouldn't be on this podcast, why what I'm doing is a sin. But finally, in my late 20s and finally at the age of 29, I let myself feel that love that for so long I thought was a sin. And when I finally had that experience of love with another man, all of the walls came crumbling down. My heart said yes to it. My body said yes to it. My spirituality said yes to it. My sexuality said yes to it. My head and my theology didn't say yes to it. And at that point, when everything else says yes except my theology, I realized my theology had to change. And I could not be happier for it.
I used to pray for you, asking God to change you, believing you could walk away. But now, thank God, I am the one who has changed. I walked away from the shackles of a system that claims to love you while simultaneously hating the most beautiful and integral part of your very being. I rejected the fear-mongering words of the power holders claiming to have the whole truth about you, and I will never go back. So yes, change is possible for those of us who once believed in toxic religiosity aimed to shame. Change is possible for those of us who wholeheartedly reject the words disguised in honey but laced with hate. So do not bend yourself, twist yourself, or force yourself into any goddamn mold that someone hands you from a pulpit. Breathe life into the dark corners of your inner being that have been hidden away, shamed into submission, or pushed by fear into untruth. Let those parts of you see the light of day, because we need you, all of you. We need you not just in the pews, but in the very pulpits that once tried to crush you.
Hi, friends. My name is Lee. I identify as a straight cis woman minister. I've considered myself a Christian for 30 of my 37 years. I was born into an evangelical community. I was a pastor's kid and was raised on literal Bible interpretation, steeped in purity culture, and all that goes along with that. Although I've been a Christian for 30 years, I've been an embodied, shameless Jesus follower only for the past 5 or so, and here's why. 5 years ago, I was blessed beyond measure to join a community of queer Christians. I became a minister because my queer pastor believed in me. I let go of the toxic theology of my youth because I wanted the kind of faith I saw pouring out of my queer friends. I'm learning to love my body because of the example I've been given from my trans friends. I'm learning how to see the Bible as a love letter and not a weapon because of reading queer theology. What I want to say is that I would not be a pastor if not for these friends. I would not be a good wife and mom without these friends. And I wouldn't have a faith that I was proud of if not for these friends. I'm heartbroken and devastated that you, my friends, are being told that any part of you needs to be changed. You are beloved. You are crucial to the kingdom. You have restored my faith and have brought me back to life. And I am so grateful.
Being a bisexual man married to a woman, I often get asked why I choose to be so public about being bisexual. After all, people ask, isn't your marriage functionally heterosexual? But the fact is, just because my marriage is straight passing does not make it straight. The uniqueness of my sexual identity and orientation help shape the way I view and engage the world, especially with respect to relationships, not only to my wife, but to my children, to my friends, to the people I pastor. The theology that taught me to deny that part of myself, to hold it with shame and fear, it poisons the soul. And that poisoning not only harmed me, but it harmed the people in my life, my wife, my children, the people I touched in ministry. Since I've embraced affirming theology, since I've embraced that part of myself that I believe reflects an aspect of the goodness and beauty of God, my life has gotten better, richer, fuller. My relationships have improved. My relationship with my wife, my children, my church. Life hasn't gotten easier. We face a lot of rejection. But even in the face of that suffering, the fullness of life we've experienced is a sure sign of God's blessing.
I'm Steffi, and I am a 30-year-old queer Latina woman. I wanted to first of all say to the change movement at Bethel, to those of you in it, that you are loved and that you belong as you are. I was raised with similar teachings that they're teaching you, that, you know, the quote best, most liberated way to be in relationship with God is to get rid of this thing, that this is something that's going to send you to down an evil path. And I guess I just wanted to challenge that with my story and the fact that actually embracing my queerness after a lot of time being ashamed of it was actually what brought me closer to God than ever. God became bigger when I was able to just ask them the tough questions like, hey, God, am I okay this way? Will you still love me fully? And can I just have a relationship with you while being a queer woman? And what I got was just a resounding yes. I found peace in God's presence that I've never felt before. And God became bigger. So I guess my encouragement to you would be, hey, like, spend some time alone with God. Ask them the tough questions. And just letting you know that this path isn't easy. It's gray. It's not all black and white. And it's not as beaten of a path. But while we are here and waiting to embrace you with open arms, and we love you.
Hi, I'm Gloria. I am a child of God. And I am also non-binary and pan. You know, I've had my fair share of experiences of things that are not of God, but being queer was never one of them. In fact, God was the one who waited until past my 20th birthday to finally reveal to me this aspect of my character. But I wasn't going through a phase, and I was not sexually sinning. Rather, I received the vocabulary to better understand my experience. Effectively, I bypassed a lot of shame that many other members of the LGBTQ community have internalized from their upbringing, and I was quickly able to feel God's unconditional love and regard. I see this as a continuation of my testimony. God didn't rescue me from the clutches of depression, anxiety, and an eating disorder just to leave me feeling like I was not perfectly made in His image. God calls us out of the grave and out of fear and shame, even if we may not have all the answers. My understanding of God is that His love is deeper, stronger, and more inclusive than the human mind could imagine. He set the rainbow in the clouds for us. Beloved, He sings and rejoices over you. God bless.
Hi, my name is Albie. I am a trans man and a queer individual. I am 20 when a Bible no longer feels like dead weight, when I realize it for the weapon it could be, but the grace it carries instead. I am 20 when my name feels like a shelter and a refuge, no longer a strong and mighty fortress like the woman I was, but rather solace, a sanctuary. I am 20 when the boyhood is no longer battling with the church pews, no longer a point of unwilling confession, but a site of song. Guided by the shadow of the shepherd's crook and the will of an anxious heart, I am called, not in spite of, but because of my identity, to clear the air and correct the wayward. We are holy. There are many of us with our hearts hidden under fear and secrets, a love that dares not speak its name, and we wander under the streetlights like lost souls searching for something more. I am finding and preparing for something more, but it is okay to feel broken, weary, brave, afraid of more, as long as we promise to stumble and search on and on and on. You are beloved. You are holy. We can do this.
My name is Corey, and I'm a gay Christian. I spent 6 years denying my sexuality. I went to counseling. I was baptized several times and received hours and hours of prayer in order to, what I hoped, change me. I would wake up at 4 a.m. several times a week in college, and I prayed in my prayer room, and I begged God to make me straight. A couple years went by, and at the end of my college career, I met my now girlfriend, Jess, and together we prayed the gay away and thought that we could help each other. Well, eventually, we found peace with ourselves and with our relationship and found each other falling in love with God more. I felt free, and I felt at peace with myself for the first time in a long time. Being in the closet, it made me resent myself, and it made me resent God. I know that scripture says, for freedom, Christ has set us free, and I truly felt that. So I want you to know today that if you're struggling with the Bethel message or feeling shame or despair or judgment, that there's an army of people waiting to welcome you and love you unconditionally. Jesus Christ loves you 100% as you are right now, and I promise you, It gets so much better.
Hi, my name is Bethany, and I'm bi. I'm almost 30 years old, and I came out to myself just over a year ago. I grew up in a conservative Christian family, and it took me a long time to realize that I was not telling the truth about myself, to myself most importantly, but also to other people, and that when we don't tell the truth about ourselves, we're not free. If there's anything I believe about the message of Jesus and the message of Christianity, it's that it's a religion of freedom and a religion of love. And since coming out, I have felt those things so strongly. It's been hard. I was scared, but I just felt the love of God and His delight in me, the freedom that I have in Christ, and the knowledge that I am His beloved creation. So I guess my advice for people coming out to themselves or to other people is first, be gentle with yourself. Take your time processing, figuring out what you need to do to take care of yourself and to process what all this stuff that's going on. The second thing is to find safe people. Find people you can talk to. Find people who have stories like yours. They are out there. They're waiting for you. And the last thing is to know that God loves you, not just accepts you, but loves you.
Hi, my name is Mitchell, and honestly, right now I'm in the process of discovering how I identify. And that process for me is one that feels very safe, very comfortable, and very encouraged because of the work of so many queer people who have gone before me and others. And I'm honestly so thankful for the ways that queerness and the LGBTQ community have influenced my faith. They have built upon a good foundation, which was love your neighbor, and expanded that so I could truly understand who my neighbor was and what that meant. The ways that the queer community have shown me true love, compassion, empathy, patience, and resilience are things that I honestly don't know that I've learned in many other places. So overall, just a huge thank you to my brothers, sisters, and non-binaries in that community.
My name is Greg. I'm a gay Christian man. I spent the first 45 years of my life trying to fit in with the world around me, even though that meant not being true to myself. I was active in the church, and I grew to hate the truth about myself while fervently praying for God to change me or to at least take my life from me to spare me the pain. I lost myself in that process, and I became a zombie who merely went through the steps to get through each day. I ultimately crashed and came to understand that I had to be true to myself if I was going to survive, much less thrive. And after coming out, I can say that I've never been happier. It's been a difficult journey at times, but I no longer hate myself, and I've come to understand that God made me this way and loves me as I am. I'm speaking here because I want to speak truth against the forces like Bethel, who continue to perpetuate the absolute lie that being gay is a choice that can be changed. If gay could be prayed away, I would be the most hetero of straight men ever known to walk the earth. But you cannot change what was never a choice. And if I can offer any encouragement to others, it is this. There is freedom in Christ, but it does not come from denying who God made you to be. Rather, that freedom comes through accepting and then embracing who you are as a creation of God.
Hola, hello. My name is Thomas Diaz, and my pronouns are he and him. I'm sending this message from Los Angeles. I identify as a cis gay Latino male, an unapologetic Episcopalian, a parishioner of All Saints Church Pasadena, where we celebrate identity and believe in the movement of radical inclusion. My friends, we shall rise. Indeed, we shall rise. I know it's disappointing to see ex-gay propaganda flood our social media feeds and our lives. This is what I have to say. Rise. Rise to our call to be a revolution of love. It is our task as the faithful LGBTQ+ community to be an outward visible sign of God's all-inclusive love. To those who are struggling with this concept of being loved by God and still identify within the LGBTQ+ community, I get you. I was once there, feeling ashamed and guilty of it, but I can say that I have risen from it, and so can you. You are not alone, and don't be alone. You are loved by God. You're loved by the faithful LGBTQ community. You are loved.
There we go, friends. That is the first part of 90 Seconds of Truth. Tune in tomorrow on Kevin's podcast, A Tiny Revolution, to hear the rest of these stories. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're listening to this thinking, wait a second, I wish I could have submitted my story, record your story on any of your social media platforms and use the hashtag 90 Seconds of Truth. Go ahead and record that message wherever you are. Post it to your social media and use the hashtag 90 Seconds of Truth. Queerology is made possible through your support. To find out how you can help keep Queerology on the air, head over to MatthiasRoberts.com/support. A really easy way to help support Queerology is by leaving a rating and a review. You can do that right in your podcast app or head to MatthiasRoberts.com/review and it'll take you right there. As always, I'd love to hear from you. If you have ideas of what you want to hear in the show or just want to say hi, reach out. I'll get back to you. And until next week, y'all, bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.